Want applications that can live on-premises or in the cloud? Bring the flexibility of cloud computing inside your data center with the only server built from the cloud up.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. I'm building our hybrid cloud. Geez, I can't believe it. We're already in episode 11. We've gone through so much. Today we're going to be talking about some of the capabilities we have for managing large amounts of resources in a standardized way. And back with us again, we have our good friend Andy Serwich. Hi Andy, how's it going today?
Good, good. How you doing, Keith?
Great, great. Well, Andy, thanks so much for joining us. I know it's always a pleasure reviewing and talking about the cloud with you. You've got some great insights.
Oh, yeah. It's always good to be here. Appreciate having me.
Sure, sure. And before we get started, did you want to just take a couple minutes to give a brief introduction of yourself, just for people that may not have tuned into one of our prior episodes?
Sure, I could do that. So again, my name is Andy Serwich, and I'm a virtual systems administrator with a services provider based out of Grand Rapids called Trivalent Group. Trivalent Group, our primary focus is to provide products and services that help our customers manage, access, protect, and store their data. And my role in the organization, that of virtual systems administrator, you know, I'm dealing with hypervisors day in, day out, dealing with VMware, dealing with Hyper-V, dealing with SCVMM, you know, now looking at Azure and getting into Azure a little bit. And, you know, as we build our own cloud platform, you know, part of this whole series has kind of been about elasticity, right? Sure. And we're really kind of looking at Azure as providing a kind of a bit of, adding a little bit of elasticity to our own cloud offering to our customers. So it's all relevant, good stuff.
Yeah, no, that's great. And yeah, I imagine a lot of what we've been talking about over the last few episodes in having that consistent management experience, both on-premises through the Azure pack, as well as out in our public Azure cloud, so you can manage it as a hybrid scenario. That probably makes a lot of sense for you guys as well, is that right?
Well, from a management standpoint, you know, obviously the more tools you add, the more difficult it is to manage your fabric, but really being able to whittle it down to one unified tool to take care of most of your management needs, it saves us a lot of time. And, you know, for a services provider, time is money, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I imagine that in the hybrid cloud environments that you manage for your customers, your tenants, you probably have hundreds, if not thousands, of virtual machines and independent networks and storage and all that. Yep. What types of things do you guys look for to help in managing the provisioning process of new customers for onboarding their workloads or standardizing that environment to make it more manageable?
Well, you know, I said time is money, but manpower is also money, right? So the more that we can automate and standardize inside of our environments, you know, the better off we are.
Yep, definitely. And in terms of automation, one of the areas that our Azure team has made a significant investment in is to take the automation capabilities that were previously available through System Center Orchestrator. They're actually still available through Orchestrator, but to provide those in a modular fashion through an architecture that we call the Service Management Automation, or SMA architecture. And the value that SMA provides is it takes that orchestrator automation and standardization type functionality and allows us to integrate it into the Azure Pack admin portal so that we can have triggered runbooks that run through a set of automated provisioning routines when a new customer spins up their subscription on our hosted cloud, a new tenant spins that up, or even on a scheduled basis. And then quite recently, over the last few weeks, our Microsoft Azure public cloud team has also brought that same service management automation capability out to the Microsoft Azure public cloud platform. So you can have some consistency in how you develop those automated routines and your runbooks in running them, whether it's on-premises or up in the cloud, through the same avenues. It's really pretty cool. Have you had a chance yet, Andy, to take a look at the SMA capabilities in the Azure pack?
Looked into it a little bit. Still kind of in the dev test phase. Kind of looking at all the different flexibility and elasticity options that are available, and that's definitely one that's caught my eye particularly.
Okay, great. Well, why don't we spend a few minutes to swing over to the whiteboard, and we can take a look at the architecture that SMA provides us with for doing automation and standardization. And then after that, after we have an understanding of the architecture, we can jump over into the lab and walk through the process for getting it up and running and managing SMA, both from the Azure pack as well as from the Microsoft Azure public cloud. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds good for me.
Okay, great. Well, I'll meet you over at the whiteboard.
All right.
Well, hey, Andy, here we are over at the whiteboard, and I took the liberty of doing a quick diagram of the service management architecture that the SMA add-on that comes with System Center Orchestrator offers when we install that into an Azure Pack environment, or if we're provisioning this in the Microsoft Azure Public Cloud, it actually spins all of this architecture up for us on demand. Azure Automation in the public cloud is sort of an automation platform as a service component, so we don't have to worry about even doing the configuration of any of the stuff. But the way that SMA works is it involves three major components. There's a SMA web service that the Azure Pack portal, the admin portal, talks to for being able to submit requests to start or author or publish these automated runbooks. And all of that goes down to the SMA web service, which stores that in a SQL database, a SQL repository. And it could be the same SQL database that your Azure Pack admin and tenant sites are connected to, or it could be a separate SQL repository. It puts it into its own SMA database on that SQL server. And then for running those runbooks, either on a schedule that you define, which is great for the on-demand workloads that you had mentioned, because oftentimes you may only need to spin those VMs up. Maybe, you know, if they're a dev on-demand workload, maybe you spin them up at 9 a.m. every morning and shut them down at 5 p.m. You could have some quick runbooks that respond to those schedules and start up VMs and shut them down. Or it could be on a triggered event as well. So it could be triggered from an activity like a new tenant or a customer, in your case, that's spinning up a new subscription through the tenant portal on Azure, and you want to have a pre-built environment that's perhaps provisioned for them with their own virtual network and several VMs based on the subscription they're agreeing to. So all that goes into the database to store the runbooks, the schedules, all that good stuff. And then to actually execute the runbooks, we have one or more runbook workers. The runbook workers are basically one or more virtual machines that when that runbook gets kicked off based on schedule or based on trigger, it pulls the details of that runbook out of the database, and it runs it. Generally, the runbooks are going to be using one or more PowerShell modules and PowerShell scripts inside the runbook. It uses a PowerShell workflow designed to embody your runbooks as a PowerShell workflow, which offers a lot of great capabilities in terms of reusability, because since all of the runbooks are packaged up as workflows, you can use those runbooks as modules that are called by other runbooks as well. So if you have some common activities, rather than having to define those in each and every runbook, you can package those up in some common runbooks and just do a start SMA runbook commandlet and call those other runbooks modularly. So you may have a sort of a library of various runbooks from that standpoint. And then to also manage the service management automation architecture, in addition to managing it through the admin pack portal, there's also a set of PowerShell modules that allow us to do SMA management itself that you can install as well. So generally when you're setting this up, after you get the base Azure pack environment set up, like we've been doing over the last few episodes of the series, you install the web service and the PowerShell modules, and then you'd install at least one runbook worker server and perhaps more. If you have more, the runbooks will automatically be balanced across them. They're smart enough, the SMA is smart enough to know how many workers are talking to the database, and as runbooks spin up, it can stagger them across those workers. So it's a pretty scalable architecture. You can just add more workers if you need more horsepower, if you're doing lots of automation and you need to run lots of runbooks concurrently. You just add more horsepower with more worker servers as you go. Does that make sense, Andy, from your standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely, it does. One thing I was wondering there, you were mentioning the scalability of the runbook workers. Is there a set standard for, you know, the size of your private cloud per number of runbook workers? Is there like a correlation there that's been defined by Microsoft?
So that's a great question. Out on the TechNet site for the Azure Pack, there are some great sizing guidelines for thinking about your architecture. However, the sizing of your SMA architecture in terms of the number of runbook workers isn't necessarily related directly to the size of your environment in terms of the number of VMs. It's oftentimes more related to the number of runbooks and the complexity of those runbooks. For instance, if you're primarily running runbooks on a scheduled basis, spin things up and spin things down, and they're staggered from a scheduling standpoint, you could probably get by in that mode with a small number, one or a small number of runbook workers. On the flip side, if you're doing a lot of runbooks that are responding to triggered activities, or runbooks that are just continuously running, then you're going to want to have extra capacity to be able to run those. So usually what I recommend is start off with 1 to 2, you know, 1 if you're just doing a proof of concept, 2 if you're starting to go into more of a production use case for your runbook workers. And as you start building out your runbooks, scheduling them and running them, take a look at the utilization of those runbook workers to determine how many more you may need to spin up. You can spin them up easily, just as additional VMs. But definitely check our TechNet site as well, and we'll provide the links to some of that information down at the bottom of the page for those of you that are joining us on the episode today.
Okay, so yeah, so the performance of the workers themselves, that's going to be the metric that you want to look at as far as sizing goes.
Right. Yep.
Okay, got it. Yep.
Great. So we've talked about the architecture over at the whiteboard. Why don't we move into the lab, and we'll take a look at SMA in action. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Great. Well, I'll see you in the lab. Well, Andy, here we are over in the lab in our Azure Pack environment that we've been building over the last few episodes, and we're looking at the service management portal, the Azure Pack admin portal, and we've been talking about service management automation. The actual installation process for those components that we architected out on the whiteboard is actually really easy. It's probably the easiest install out of anything in the Azure Pack or private cloud environments yet. It's literally a couple clicks to install each of those components on the relevant servers, add in your orchestrator product key, and it's up and running at a base level from that standpoint. But once you've got your SMA web service and your database and your runbook workers up and running installed, you need to register the SMA web service with the Azure Pack admin portal as a next step so that the Azure Pack knows how to connect with it and be able to use the Azure Pack admin portal as an interface for managing and editing and publishing those runbooks. And so in the Azure Pack portal, I'm over on the automation page, and the very first thing on this this little getting started tab, this first tab that has a little lightning bolt with a cloud on it, is registering service management automation. I've already registered my SMA web service, but if it wasn't there, I'd just click on that, enter in my URL, my username, my password, and then when I click the OK button, it'll connect to it. It'll make sure that it has the ability to be able to authenticate to it, and it will move forward with sucking in any existing runbooks that may have been defined or that are there by default. So that's the first step. Makes sense so far?
Yep.
Great. And then once we've got that registered, that's just a one-time step. We can actually skip over to the dashboard. And on the dashboard, it'll show us those performance metrics that we were talking about in helping to plan and size our need for additional runbook workers moving forward. So you can see, you know, how many runbooks are running concurrently and how many completed, how many suspended. So it gives you a sense of what that level of concurrency is across your runbooks. And as you scroll down, it'll show you all the various runbooks that are currently there. Now, there's a lot of runbooks that come as samples or come as default libraries that you can leverage, but you can also create your own runbooks to automate your own resources, and we'll show you how to do that in just a moment. But before we do that, I wanted to call out this other tab over here for assets. What assets are shared components that you can share across all of your runbooks. And as we go down to our bottom toolbar, you'll see three buttons, import module, add setting, and delete. So import module is used to import additional PowerShell modules into the automation environment. So that if you had some specific add-in PowerShell modules that you wanted to call commandlets from within a runbook, and they're not in the list by default, you can see there's a bunch. A lot of the standard Windows Server PowerShell modules are already included. But if there was a third-party module, you can just zip it up into a zip file. So it would have the manifest and any of the binary files, any of the files that make up that PowerShell module, zip it up. And then you'd click on Import Module, browse out to where that location, that folder location is that you stored the zip file, and import it. In addition, there may be settings that you want to share across all of your runbooks, so you don't have to define them on a runbook-by-runbook basis. Settings for your environment or for your networks or whatnot. And if we click on Add Settings here, you'll see that there's several different types of settings that we can define as centralized assets and use across our runbooks. So we can have connections that we're defining to, could be a connection to our Azure Public Cloud subscription. It could be a connection to a hosting environment. It could be a connection to perhaps some internal environments. Credentials that are used for authenticating those connections. Special variables that might store particular server names that we want to use across runbooks or things of that nature. And then schedules that we may want to standardize and use to link to several runbooks that we're looking to start up at the same time. So we have this assets area so that we don't have to worry about defining these common elements on a runbook by runbook basis. And I find it's important to give a little bit of thought to that up front from a strategy standpoint, because what I've seen some happen in some environments is you might get SMA up and running, set up your first, maybe your second runbook, and you start falling into that trap of hard coding settings into the runbook. And then you realize after you've created your 10th or 15th or 50th runbook that, hey, there's a bunch of runbooks that have all these hard-coded common settings, and if I ever have to change any of this, you're not going to want to have to go back and change all of those runbooks independently. So by putting all of that common stuff into assets and just calling those assets from your runbook, all of your runbooks, you change them once, all of your runbooks get updated. Does that make sense? Is that a similar approach to what you've done in other types of scripted environments?
Oh, absolutely. It's just kind of comes back to that whole concept of plan it out right from the get-go. Otherwise, you're going to have a management nightmare later on down the line. The other thing I find interesting about this view is you can clearly see the PowerShell influence here, which is really kind of neat. That gives you a little bit of the mindset of what's going on in the background.
Definitely, yeah. So PowerShell is heavily leveraged as the runbook scripting language. And in fact, let's take a look at how those runbooks look. So I'm going to go over to our runbooks tab on our automation page, and you'll see that there's a bunch of sample runbooks that were installed by default when I installed SMA, and then you also have the ability to create your own runbooks over using the new button. Or if you have particular scripts, PowerShell scripts that you've previously defined, you can import those as runbooks right into the SMA environment. That import feature is kind of cool because I find a lot of environments, they may already be leveraging PowerShell for elsewhere within their environment for scripts that they're just running manually. And with some small adjustments, they can import those in, make them a runbook, and have SMA actually be running them on a regular automated basis. So if we drill into the properties of one of these runbooks, back to your point about the PowerShell influence here. If I go over to the author tab of this initial sample runbook, you'll actually see as we scroll through this runbook that it essentially is a PowerShell workflow that's being called and using PowerShell to automate a set of activities. So right now we're looking at the published view. That's the view of the runbook workflow that we'd use to save it and publish it and make it available for running. But if we needed to edit this, we can go over to the draft view, edit that runbook, which takes a copy of the published view and kind of checks it out for editing, so that right within the Azure Pack portal, we have a basic PowerShell editor that knows how to parse out the basic components of the PowerShell syntax for us. And we can compose it right here, make our changes. We can even test and run the runbook from here, make sure it works successfully. And then when we're ready to check those changes back in, we can click the Publish button, and that'll move all of those changes back over to the Publish tab. But whatever's on the Publish tab, the published version of that runbook, is the version that would normally run if you call it from another runbook or a trigger or have it run in response to a linked schedule. So once we've got our schedule, once we've got our published runbooks that we want to automate and have run on a schedule, we can just go over to the Schedule tab and we can link to an existing schedule. Remember, we have that in that Assets area, we had the ability to define a set of centralized schedules that we could use for linking into several runbooks. If we had those centralized schedules defined, we can use an existing schedule and link to one of those assets, one of those schedule assets, or we can create a one-off schedule for this runbook just by clicking Add New Schedule and give our schedule a name. And we'll say End of Day. Maybe this is a runbook we want to run every day. And then we can specify, do we want it to run in the future just once, or do we want it to run on a daily basis? We can specify start date and time. The time is a 24-hour military time. And also an optional expiration, and then specify how many days to run that for. So it's a pretty easy scheduling tool that we can use to have certain runbooks automatically just kick off and run. So it's a simple but very powerful tool for being able to do just mass automation through large private cloud or hybrid cloud environments. But what do you think, Andy? Does that look pretty enticing?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a really strong selling point, especially for larger internal organizations that are considering this, just because most of those organizations are already going to have some sort of script library, you know, with tasks that they're already doing in an automated fashion. In my mind, this simply makes it a lot easier to manage those scripts and roll them out in a simple UI fashion.
Yep, definitely. And certainly, like many other things with PowerShell scripting, a lot of us have gone down that path of being very successful scripters by leveraging the work of others that have been shared in the community.
Absolutely.
And so for getting started, even if those of you out there that are listening today aren't avid, diehard PowerShell scripters today, it's really easy to get started. You can go out to the TechNet Script Center. There's also a specific Azure Automation Script Center that's been forming over the last few months. And certainly, from a blog standpoint, the Building Clouds blog. And we'll have links to all of those resources down at the bottom of the page conveniently for you. But they're all great resources to tap into to get examples of either PowerShell scripts or prefabricated PowerShell workflows and runbooks that you can bring into your environment, customize a bit, and be able to leverage. And then as you gain that familiarity with PowerShell, be able to go further and begin perhaps either customizing or creating your own runbooks.
Yeah, those resources certainly are excellent resources. I've found in my own use that, you know, most issues that you run into, you know, from an IT pro standpoint, someone has probably already solved that issue using PowerShell on one of those sites.
Right. Yep. Between those three, if you don't find it, either you're having a very unique scenario or maybe you're looking at something in the wrong way.
One of the two. Either way, you're having a bad day.
Definitely. Now, with Azure, with automation, through the service management automation tools and the architecture, we not only can automate our private cloud environment, but remember, our series is about hybrid cloud. So out on our Microsoft Azure public cloud offer, we actually, over the last month or so, have launched service management automation up in the Microsoft Azure public cloud as well. And so I'm just going to switch over to my second browser tab, and you'll see now I'm out on the public Microsoft Azure portal, management portal, and on our left navigation pane, you'll see a similar automation. Works very much the same as what we had seen on our Azure Pack service management portal page. But instead of registering a particular SMA web service that we had to manually install, with Azure Automation, it's even easier to get all of those SMA components for the web service, the database, and the multiple runbook workers all spun up just by going on the automation page initially down to new, and on the new button, creating a new automation account. Now, once we've got that automation account created, you'll see it appear in your automation page. And as you drill into the properties of it, basically, this is your on-the-fly SMA architecture that Azure just provisioned for you inside of your Azure subscription. So you've got your dashboard, just like we had before, that shows us our utilization and number of runbooks and whatnot. And we've got the assets tab for our common assets. Now, because Azure Automation is initially focused on managing resources up in the Microsoft Azure public cloud, instead of having all of those Windows Server specific PowerShell modules already plugged in, the main PowerShell module that's plugged in is the Azure PowerShell module. But you can still import your own additional modules. You can still add your own custom settings, connections, credentials, schedules, using the same interface that we saw on premises in the Windows Azure Pack. And from a runbook standpoint, going over to the runbooks tab, works basically the same way. So I've got two runbooks that I've set up. One that's a Connect Azure runbook that has all my common code for connecting to my Azure subscription. And then I've got a stop runbook that, when it's called, basically shuts down a bunch of on-demand VMs that I don't want to have running continuously 7x24. So I might schedule that to run the end of every day, for instance, to shut down those on-demand VMs. And as I drill into the properties of that runbook, again, a very consistent interface with dashboard, jobs, author, schedule, configure tabs, just like we had in our on-premises portal. If I go over to author, I can author and publish runbooks in exactly the same way. And you'll see as we step through this, it's calling my Connect Azure runbook, just like a PowerShell workflow, because essentially that's what those runbooks are. We're defining PowerShell workflows that, as we mentioned a little earlier, we can reuse across other runbooks. And then as we go down a little further, this is just a simple example of a runbook, but it basically goes through the process of defining multiple VMs that are running in Azure in a cloud service, and then it just cycles through those VMs in a for loop, and for each of those VMs, it runs stop Azure VM and shuts them down. So we can use the start button, just like we did on premises, to start this and run it manually one time, or we can go over to the schedule tab and set it right up as a schedule. So the great thing here is that whether you're automating on premises or up in the cloud with Windows Azure Pack on premises or Microsoft Azure in the public cloud, steps and the syntax and the skills that you develop can be leveraged across both. So does that sound pretty interesting from your standpoint, Andy?
Yeah, I really like that. Just, again, I have to learn one interface, right? Yep. I remember it was years ago, we had an interface for SANS. We had an interface for, you know, hypervisor management, an interface for Windows server stack management. Just having it all in one place, that's just, you know, I really like where UI management is going in regards to Azure and the Windows Azure Pack.
Yep, it's sort of the Lord of the Cloud. One tool to rule them all, right?
Yep.
Cool. Well, let's move back over to our office and we'll finish up our chat and see if there's any other questions, and then we'll move on to introducing our next episode.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, I'll meet you back at the office. Well, Andy, thanks for joining us today. In today's episode, we walk through service management automation in a hybrid cloud manner, both on-premises and private cloud data centers, as well as leveraging the same capabilities, same management interface, same tooling up in our Microsoft Azure public cloud to allow organizations to really decide how best to leverage that combination of private and public clouds as part of their hybrid strategy. So really appreciate you joining us today, Andy. Hopefully it was a great episode for you as well.
Oh, absolutely. I really enjoyed seeing it. And I think what a lot of people are going to be able to do is, like we mentioned earlier, they already most organizations are already going to have some sort of script library. Yep. And just a matter of importing that, you're already going to have some of the same functionality that you do today, but you're going to be able to manage it in an easier fashion. I think that was the really that really was the selling point of this particular video for me.
Great. Awesome. Well, that's great feedback. Thanks for sharing that. And then certainly for all of you joining us, thank you for joining us again in episode 11 as well. And be sure to scroll down to the bottom of the page. You'll find some great resources. Andy's blog is listed there. My blog is listed there, along with some specific resources to help you get started with service management automation and Azure automation out in the public cloud too. So be sure to take advantage of those resources. Let us know in the comments if you have questions or what ideas you may have for leveraging automation uniquely in your hybrid cloud environment. And then this is not the end. We've got more episodes coming up in Build Your Hybrid Cloud. So be sure to tune in for our next episode, episode 12. We'll be talking about chargeback and showback, a really hot topic for lots of the CIOs that I've been talking to. They really love the aspect around cloud, being able to measure the consumption of services so that they can, even if they're not going to charge back, they can really show back those costs to the various business units. So thanks so much, Andy, for joining us. Thanks, everybody. Hope to catch you on our next TechNet Radio episode.
Thanks, everyone.